When you started your business here in the 1970s, early 70s, wasn't it 1970?
Yeah, very, very early 70s.
Oh, yeah. What kind of computers were you using here?
Well, the first one we got was the same,
same
one
we had in Dundalk.
So that was 1903.
How much did that cost?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I think it would have cost about 20,000 in those days.
And that had this storage, which was
yes,
a major step forward.
Yeah,
and it had tape racks for storing data, bringing data forward from 1 month to the next and that. I actually have some shots of that, of myself loading tapes onto one of these tape decks, if it's of interest to you.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. And so massive cost involved.
Huge, and those, I mean, that was, I'm only guessing, but the little one we got in 1960, where it wasn't a computer, really cost £5,000. And it did nothing, you know. Literally. You put a card in one end of it, and you practically typed in the thing, and the holes came in the card, and you put the holes into a printer, and you printed the results. A by B equals C, you know. That's all it did. And no storage. I mean, there was no storage, as Derek was saying earlier, at all.
But I think we were lucky here in MCS that when we started out the, I suppose, involving of the whole computer industry, there was a massive advantage in that. And we were, you know, for, I suppose, still a certain amount of money, but we were able to get up-to-date equipment that improve the level of service that we could give to our clients. And fairly quickly we had customers all over the country. Our very first customer, strangely, is across the road from us, the Irish Farmers Journal.
Really?
Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They're still customers.
Still customers.
They're still customers, yeah. But we, the whole IFA organization, the IFA, and our customers as well.
They were based over there. I think they started out in Adelaide Road.
They did. Well, they had an office in Anglesey Street, and I think that came FBD next door, and an office in Ersford Terrace.
Right. Yeah. To set up the infrastructure for such an operation, was there a lot of telegraph wires coming to and fro? Did you have any kind of infrastructure needed to when this was in operation?
No, I suppose we replicated what we had in Clondalkin to a large extent, and we were familiar with the software, the hardware, so we did replicate what we used in Clondalkin to provide a bureau service for Clondalkin owned companies. So we effectively replicated that in,
yes,
we were in Ballymount Road at the time.
But it was all batch processing, not like today's concept of computers. It was, you got the work delivered to the door, you processed it, and you had it collected and sent back. That was the nature of the thing. It was a batch processing operation.
So when you were electronically sending messages, when did that come, roughly? At what stage?
It's relatively recently. Not long ago. With emails on that.
Well, I suppose our business changed in the sense that when we saw the writing on the wall for the bureau business, we then started providing in-house solutions for companies where they bought their own PCs and we provided the software that produced the results that they wanted, produced the software for them that gave them the results they wanted.
Okay.
That would have been, because at that point where the PC became easier for the communications and all that sort of thing.
All right, now, I know somebody, his name is Peter Pierce. Does that name strike you? He actually writes software for companies who, need that kind of service.
Yes. That's what we used to do. We still do.
That's what our business evolved into. I suppose the bureau became a smaller part of the operation. It was software development for even some large companies. I mean, we had payroll in the sugar company at one stage.
And Avonmore. Kerry Group. Yeah.
Really?
We provided the payroll for the Kerry Group, and for Avonmore, and Boredom. Did we have Boredom on?
Cross Harbour Commissioners.
So, in fact, you were ahead of the game here, really, if you think about it. If you were
doing business
with Michael Rice and the Kerry Group, who's the IT manager in Kerry at the time. What happened was we wrote a payroll for the Bureau, right? And we just processed payrolls.
Yeah.
But then, actually, it came about because, do you remember ICL had a payroll and they ceased the supporting it, right? The Irish version. So we then wrote a payroll, which we used to process our own batch Bureau customers, but also we sold it to people like Michael Rice in Avonmore, or in Kerry Co-op, Nicky Brennan in Avonmore, and others that I just don't come to mind at the moment.
Fascinating, really. Yeah. And to get that business now, what...
The common denominator would have been they were all ICL customers, right? And when the situation arose where ICL said, we're no longer supporting this payroll, we saw it as an opportunity.
Okay.
So we made contact with them through probably the ICL user group, and that was the start of it. Now, they're still, obviously, they've ceased using it for years, but, I mean, they were using it for several years.
And again, that was breaking ground. You were, I suppose, operating with...
I suppose we would have sold anything at that point, you know?
Well, the fact that ICL, we had a good relationship with ICL. I mean, we bought all ICL hardware at one stage. And when they decided to discontinue the Irish payroll, effectively they passed it on to us.
So you automatically took over all these customers?
Well, not automatically. I mean, we contacted, I suppose, them and said, okay, we're going to provide the service now. And the bulk of them did stay with us.
I remember we had a meeting in Hayes' Hotel in Turles, where we met all the people who were interested from the former ICL payroll.
So just to put all this together, can I just ask you, if Clondalkin Paper Mills had held on to your idea and if you had expanded, would it have been a different story? Would the whole thing have been...
A different story for
would you have still pulled out anyway at some stage, do you feel? Or, when it started to get too big, as you say?
No, I think we would have. I don't think there was any dissatisfaction, really, with how the computer operation certainly was going in Clondalkin. It was an idea of enterprise, let's put it that way.
Yes.
That we would do something on our own.
Maybe Des, first, just to summarise the story, the whole concept of computers and the way that you taught about it and, you learned more about how the computer works, this was cutting edge stuff. This was, you were getting in there at the very beginning.
I was interested in new things, and I still am. Being an accountant, writing up books didn't really attract me very much, and books were written up by hand. Everything was written.
You never thought about writing a book, did you, on this?
No, this is a book, an accounts book I'm talking about, where you had to write everything into a ledger.
Oh, yes.
Everything was done that way. And when I first read about computers in 1954, it struck me that this was a big, huge leap forward. And that's how I got interested in it. Long before there were any available in this country and most countries, it was just the concept of it gave me an idea. That's all. Nothing very clever about it. It was just imagination more than anything else.
But generally, Irish people have that kind of imagination, as you put it, to explore what's out there in that world. Eric, would you agree with that?
I would, yes. It was certainly in latter time, but going back to our involvement in it initially, I mean, it was a totally unknown thing. For me, personally, it was an alternative to becoming some kind of an accountant, which I found boring beyond belief.
You're right about it.
As I said earlier, to my mother's consternation that I was giving up accountancy for computers, and she would never have heard. What are they? She thought it was some kind of devious system like that people worked away with in a background, and there was something not right about it.
It's like devil worship.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. So I saw it as an alternative career, and it, like, you're back in the 70s, things are completely different to what they are today. I mean, the internet changed the world, not just our business. Like, it changed every aspect of people's life. And we enjoyed it, I would have to say.
Yeah.
And coming in at a later stage, what
yeah, coming in, well, I remember when I was leaving school, I mean, companies like Irish Life would be recruiting programmers to train them and make a career in the business. And that was probably the first I heard of, you know, the business that was as a potential career opportunity, right? And I got into it, sort of into employed by Clondalkin initially, and subsequently by MCS. That's how I got in. But my initial, I probably applied for a job as a programmer in Irish Life and didn't get it, and found my way into the business another way. You know?
I see. And how would it
was very new. Yes. I mean, it was absolutely new then, you know? And none of us probably fully understood the thing properly. You know?
You really didn't know exactly how far this would go.
No, not a clue. Yeah, it was purely bread and butter stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, if you have any photographs or any material relating to your story, I'd love to see them and have them. And
I don't have any, but Hugh has.
Yeah, I have some goods. We actually use them for the launch of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think George Colley opened it, didn't he, officially? Yeah. And I have about 3 or 4 2x2 foot shots of myself loading tapes and things like that. But you're certainly welcome.
Was there any government initiative or grant towards when you were setting up?
Certainly not.
No, nothing at all.
Heresy. You know, the greatest advantage we had in setting up this business was the motor car.
Why do you say that?
I drove 25,000 miles in the first year trying to sell to various firms our services all around the country, everywhere.
And did you find it a hard sale?
No, because I was talking to accountants as well, mostly. So I had an advantage over the ordinary salesman, though that's all I was an ordinary salesman.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's like I said, it's an extraordinary story, and I'm glad I came here.
Well, we're glad you came too, because you've woken up the memory cells.
I think the very significant thing in relation to, I suppose, the evolution of MCS, the internet changed everything. I mean, it has an unbelievable impact on how we ran our business. Like Des was saying, on the selling side, driving all over the country, Hugh and myself would have had the similar experience in servicing our customers. Like today, you ring them up, you log in remotely into their system, and you see what the problem is and you resolve it. Then you had to drive. We had customers all over the country, and at one stage, I suppose in the early 90s, I would have spent 4 days a week out of 5 just driving around the country.
So you did a lot of driving in
oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
But again, the internet alters that totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a problem then.
You had to go and visit him.
Yeah. Des Tanham, thank you very much indeed, and Eric Breen, thank you for
Derek
Breen, thank you very much for talking to me, and for your comments too, Hugh O'Sullivan, thank you.